So in 1 Kings chapter 19, I want to read a few verses. It says, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets, as we may say and should say, false prophets, with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Oh, my Lord, Jezebel is mad. And when he saw that, and Elijah got a picture of that, he said, I can't stay around. He arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his head. He did eat and drink and lay him down again. And the angel of the Lord came the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. Everybody say, caveman. Yeah.
Oh.
He stayed in that place. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning, if I can, a title and a message I've never preached before, but the Lord laid it on my heart when Brother Isaiah was preaching in the conference. I just heard the Lord speak to me. And when I hear the Lord speak to me, I know it's not just for me, but it's for somebody else. But I heard the Lord saying, when the tomb becomes a womb.
Oh,
when the tomb becomes a womb. Somebody today is getting ready to come out of something that the devil said, this is the end.
Oh,
God, you know, Holy Ghost already. The devil said, this is the end, but I came to tell you the devil is a liar. What looks like the end is just the beginning. I wish somebody would give the Lord a little praise in this house today, because there's a new beginning on the horizon for you. What looks like a tomb, the Lord said, it's a womb, and somebody is getting ready for a born again experience. Oh, I believe it. I believe it. Oh, hallelujah. When we take up our text today, we're looking at, I believe, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. Elijah was a man of God. He was a great prophet. I don't know if you can search the scriptures and find a greater prophet. He had just stood before the entire nation of Israel in a backslidden condition with a wicked king who was backslidden and a Jezebel, a witch named Jezebel, who had led the entire nation of Israel into rebellion and witchcraft and religious idolatry against God. And Elijah had stood on that mountain and confronted them, called fire down from heaven, and then turned around and killed all those false prophets. Elijah was a man of God. But now Elijah is in a cave. He finds himself in a cave running for his life. Elijah is a great man, but Elijah is hiding in a cave. He has just called fire down from heaven. My God, what did it take? what he must have felt like to see the glory of God. See all those people falling on their faces saying, the Lord, he is the God. And to see them who had been backslidden rise up in the spirit and begin to take their swords and slay every false prophet and idolater. My God, it must have felt like something else, man, to know that God had used them in that fashion. But now he was in a cave hiding from Jezebel. The cave is a place of hiding. In Joshua 10 and 16, it tells about five kings who were running for their lives. And they hid themselves in a cave at Megiddo. And it was told, Joshua saying, the five kings are found, hid in a cave at Megiddo. A cave is where you go when you want to be alone. A cave is a place of separation, and it's a place of isolation. Anytime there is a strong attack of the devil against your life, he will try to push you into a cave. He will try to push you away from people that can help you. He will try to push you away from the anointing. He'll try to push you away from church. He'll try to push you away from the place you need to be. He'll try to drive you away from those you need to be around. And he'll try to drive you into a place of isolation. He wants to isolate you. A cave is a lonely place. It's a solitary place. And any time there's a strong attack against you, the devil will try to push you into a cave. The cave is a place of depression. One of the greatest signs of being in a cave is the spirit of depression. Depression is not just an attitude, and it's not just a bad feeling. Depression is a spirit. Everybody say it's a spirit. Then you can get this understanding. This depression is not just a feeling. Depression is a spirit. Yes, it brings feelings, but it's a spirit. So when you sense certain feelings and certain attitudes around you, then you can recognize this is a spirit that is trying to attach itself to me. This is a spirit that is trying to gain the right to operate around my life. You have to identify that spirit. Isaiah calls it the spirit of heaviness. Isaiah 61 and 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of heaviness or the spirit of depression, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Everybody say depression. Yes. Say heaviness. Yes. Say it's a spirit. Yes. See, heaviness means somewhat dark, darkish, wax, dim, dull, colorless, faint, fear, sorrow, grief, feelings of hopelessness, dejection, to feel low. The cave is a place of depression. Elijah, great man of God that he was in a cave. The cave is a place of fear. I want to talk to you about the cave for a minute. The cave is a place of fear. In 1 Kings 18 and 4, it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Why were they hiding in a cave? Because they were afraid. The cave is a place of fear. The cave is also a place of meager existence. Meager existence. Come on. Now let me tell you about fear for just a minute. Fear is a spirit also. You know that? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. What is fear? Fear is believing more in what the devil says than what God says. Fear is faith in the devil's ability. Fear paralyzes, faith mobilizes. Is a spirit, and the devil will try to push you into a cave and surround you with fear. 100 prophets. Can you imagine the power? 100 prophets, 100 men of God, women of God, in a cave because they were afraid of Jezebel. Fear. Fear is a powerful thing. But God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So if you are being surrounded or plagued by fear, it's not from God.
That's right.
Fear of the future, it's not from God. Fear of the economy and what's going on in this world, it's not from God. Fear is not from God. It's from the devil. It's a place of meager existence, as I said, the cave. In the cave, it seems like everything comes in small doses. You just get a little bit of joy, just a little bit. You get just a little bit of peace. You get just a little bit of rest. You get just a little bit of assurance. You get just a little bit of comfort. You get just a little bit, just enough maybe to keep you alive, but not enough to make you enjoy life. Everything comes in rations.
Come on.
Whew, I feel God. The cave is a spiritual reality. You may never in your life walk into a natural cave, but at some point in your life, you will experience a spiritual cave. You will experience a cave. I'm not trying to prophesy bad things on you. I just got to tell you the truth. If you live long enough, you will experience a cave. You ain't no better than the prophet Elijah. You will at some point encounter, experience a cave. You can be rich and be in a cave. You can be surrounded by people and be in a cave. You can be anointed and still be in a cave. You can be a pastor and be in a cave. You can be a prophet and be in a cave. You can cast out devils on Sunday and be in the cave on Monday. I'm telling you, the cave is a real spiritual condition. And the cave is a place of death.
Right.
In Genesis 23:9, Abraham was bartering for a cave. He said that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it to me for a possession of a burying place. Genesis 23:19, he says, and after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. See, the devil wants to get you in a cave. And if he can keep you there long enough, his plans are to kill you. That's what his plan is. His plan is to steal your destiny and steal your joy and steal your peace and rob you of your faith. That's his plan. See, I don't know who I'm talking to, and everybody won't know who I'm talking and what I'm talking about, but somebody does know what I'm talking about. Somebody knows what it feels like to be in a cave. Somebody knows what it feels like to be isolated and alone. Somebody knows what it feels like to run as hard as you can and to do the best you can and feel like you're not making any progress and feel like you're not gaining any ground and wonder what in the world is happening. Where is God? Somebody knows what it feels like to do the best that you can, to believe God, to confess the word of God, and to not see anything happen and to wonder where in the world is God. Where did I miss it? Somebody knows what it feels like to be in a cave. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm sure I'm talking to somebody.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Can anybody be honest enough? Just lift up your hand and say, I know what you're talking about. I know this ain't the place where you want to shout right now. I know this ain't the place where you want to jump up and start dancing right now. But if you just be honest about it, you have to say, Pastor, I know what you're talking about. I've been in a cave. I've been in a cave, you see. You have to really strain your eyes to see anything good in a cave. It's real dark in there. You fight feelings of discouragement in the cave. You haven't seen the manifestation of your promise. The devil will try to make you question if you're even anointed or not. If you're even called or not. If you're even saved or not.
Come on.
See, feels like everything good that is coming to you is coming through a straw.
Come on.
And everybody, I'm not talking to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody, I know. the great man of God. And he was a great man of God. I take nothing away from him. He was a great man of God, but he found himself in a cave. It says he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. In other words, he planned on being there a while. He left his servant, went a day's journey to the wilderness, and then he went on even beyond that and went into a cave and lodged there. In other words, he set up camp and planned to be there a while. And he said, here's the Lord says, Elijah, what doest thou here? And he said, this is his word, I have been. See, he's a has been now.
Come on, come on.
Tell your neighbor, you're not a has been. I have been. See, he's looking through the rear window. He said it like this. There was a time. He said, once upon a time. Or you could say, he's saying, I remember when. He said, I have been. It's almost like he's saying, I'm not anymore, but I was. There was a time. I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars. They've slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. I have been. Not I am, not I will be, but I have been. In other words, Elijah is saying, I'm done. I called fire down from heaven. I got rid of all them wicked prophets. I'm done. I'm through. I'm finished. I came here to die. The cave is the place where dreams die. The cave is the place where visions expire. It's the place where passion and enthusiasm and desire surrender to apathy and indifference and hopelessness. It's the place where fear reigns and doubt robs the heart of any expectation of better things. Yeah, the prophet. Everybody say the prophet. Say the man of God. Elijah himself. Found himself in a cave. Don't be too quick to judge him, though. We've all been in a cave at one time or another.
That's right.
If you haven't, you will be. Tell your neighbor, keep on living.
Keep on living. Say that.
Say that. Woo. Keep on living. Elijah found himself in a cave, afraid of Jezebel. Afraid of Jezebel. Running for his life. Wallowing in self-pity. Mad at God. Mad at his people. Mad at everybody and everything, ready to give up and throw in the towel. Oh, yeah, but something's happening now. Because the Bible said the Lord passed by his way. Oh, yeah. I just wonder, is there anybody in this house glad that the Lord passed by your way? Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You were ready to give up. You were ready to throw in the towel. You were ready to turn your back on church, turn your back on church folks, turn your back on the whole thing. But the Lord passed by. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God you were sick. And the doctor said, I don't know what we can do. We've done everything we know how to do. Oh, but the Lord passed by. And there was healing in his wings. Oh, I thank God for the day the Lord passed by. And he changed my life, and he changed my heart, and he changed my mind, and he lifted me up out of the pit. He lifted me up out of the mire and clay. He set my feet upon a solid rock, and he established my goals. Is there anybody glad that the Lord passed by? Oh, hallelujah. Hey! Well, the Lord passed by. There was a great wind, like a tornado. The prophet sat inside that cave. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. It's tearing rocks apart. The Bible says. The prophet's inside there. Nobody loves me. Nobody knows me. The trouble I've seen. Nobody knows me. And the Lord said, that prophet's in bad shape. We gotta do something else. So he started shaking things up. Shook it. Earthquake. The Bible says there's a great earthquake.
Come on.
Well, that old prophet, man, he's sitting in there. He's like, leave me alone. He's sitting in there trying to have a pity party, and God's trying to knock him off of his seat. Man, why? Where'd I have to go to feel sorry for myself? I can't get no help in here. The Lord passed by. Yeah. And the Lord said, man, that prophet is deep in despair. I don't want to get his attention. He sent the fire. Oh, yeah. And there was a great fire. And the prophet just sit there. Man, the fire didn't get his attention. I don't. He's really gone. He's far gone. But you know, I read something in that same passage of scripture. And it said, the Lord passed by. And all those things were the Lord, but he was not in them.
That's right.
See, so even though I look at the prophet and I see that he's in a pretty bad way, and you've got to realize that there's still some discernment working on the inside.
That's right, come on.
Yeah, the wind passed by, but the prophet said, that's not what I need. That's not really what I'm needing right now. It's good. I'm not going to say it ain't good, but that's not really what I'm needing. There is a time I need the wind to blow. There is a time that I need the wind to blow and blow some things around and blow some things out of it. But that's not what I'm needing right now. And so he just sit there. And then here comes the earthquake. And the prophet said, that's not what I'm needing right now. The Lord's not in that for me right now. And then came the fire. And he said, that's not what I need. You know, there is a time I need the wind. And there's a time I need the fire. There's a time I need the earthquake. There's a time I need it. That's not where I'm at right now. But the prophet just sat there. And then all of a sudden there was a still small voice in the prophet's ear. That's something. I hear something. I hear something. You see, as long as the prophet can still hear the voice of the Lord, he's still profitable. I don't care what you've been doing. I don't care where you're at.
Revelation.
of the glory of God. Somebody's on the verge of a new level of anointing. No wonder the devil wanted to kill you. No wonder the devil tried to bring you down with depression. No wonder the devil tried to get you sick and afflicted and tried to get you to back out of church. No wonder he tried to push you over into a cave by yourself. You're getting ready to see the greatest manifestation of the power of God you've ever seen in your family, in your finances, in your ministry. The devil tried to push you into a cave and say it's over, it's your tomb, you're going to die here. But I came by to tell you that the devil is a liar. It's not a tomb, it's a womb. And I'm coming out. Oh yeah, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. So, cancel my plans. Cancel the casket. Cancel the pity party. I'm coming out. You've heard the apostle say, I've said it. One word from God can change your world. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to take it one step farther. One letter. Not a book. Not a chapter. Not a verse. Not even a word. Just one letter can change your world. There's only one difference between a tomb and a room, and that's one letter. Oh yeah, there's only one difference between a tomb and a womb, and that's a T and a W. And I just stopped by to tell you the devil spelled it wrong.
Empty, but I'm coming out full. I'm going with no one.
you be seated for a minute. He came out swinging oil. He was anointed from his head to his toes. He was a man on fire. He was a man with a mission. He was a man with a vision. The fear of Jezebel was gone. Oh, Lord, I have been very jealous, Lord, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, I don't like that song, Elijah. I don't like that tune. It sounds like a funeral march. Let me give you a new song.
Well,
let me give you a new voice. I'm going to put a new tune on the inside of you. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness. Another translation says, go back the way you came. Oh, but God, I just ran from Jezebel. Yeah, but you got to press it on me now.
That's right.
Go back the way you came. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint. Everybody say anoint.
Anoint.
To be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint. Everybody say anoint. To be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mahola, shalt thou anoint. Everybody say anoint. To be prophet in thy room. Oh, yeah. And it shall come to pass that everyone, him that escapeth the sword of Haziel, shall Jehu slay. Him that escapeth the sword, that devil trying to turn my page. Leave that page alone. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And on that last note of your sad song, Elijah, where you told me you're the only one left, I just stopped by to tell you, Elijah, that course is wrong.
That's
right. That verse is wrong.
Come on now.
I got 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Hallelujah.
Right.
Woo! Glory to God. When he came out of that womb, he came out slinging oil. Everywhere he went, he was distributing the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder the devil wants to take you out. No wonder the devil wants to shut you down. He don't want that anointing to go any further. He wants that anointing to die in the cave. No wonder he's trying to shut you down. Tell your neighbor, I know now. Why I've been going through what I've been going through. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I know now. Why the devil's been trying to take me out. That's why. He's afraid of the anointing. He doesn't want me to walk in my anointing. He doesn't want me to walk in your anointing. He doesn't want you to know who you are in Christ. Come on, lift your hands and praise him right now. Tell the devil, I'm anointed and I know. Come on, get on your feet and tell the devil, I'm anointed and I know. 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 And I'm going to show. I'm anointed and I know. I'm anointed and I know. I'm gonna show it. I'm gonna show it. I'm gonna show it. Show it on. He came out slinging oil. Just remain standing while I was finished. He was anointed from his head to his toes. He was a man on fire. He was a man with a mission. He was a man with a vision. All the fear of Jezebel was gone. Oh. What made the difference between a dream and a word? One word. One letter. He heard the voice of God. He heard the voice of God. I just came by today in this house to tell you the devil lied. He spelled it wrong. It ain't a tune. It's a wound. I ain't saying you ain't cried. I ain't saying it ain't been dark. I ain't saying it ain't been hard. I ain't saying that you felt like quitting. I ain't saying that hasn't happened, because I've experienced it. I know things like that happen. But what I am saying is the devil is a liar. Oh, yeah. It's not the end, it's the beginning. But see, if the devil can convince you that this is where it ends, you'll lay down your mantle. And Jezebel will keep on living. And if the devil can convince you that this is where it ends, you'll lay down your mantle.
Come on, yeah.
And Elisha will never get the double portion.
Come on.
Yes, right.
Right.
Just do it. Come on.
Work.
I wonder how many ministries never got started.
That's right.
Because somebody decided to believe the devil.
Uh-oh.
And gave up on the verge of a miracle. And gave up on the verge of a breakthrough into a new anointing. The devil will make it look worse than it's ever looked in your life. Just before the greatest breakthrough of your life. Just before you break through into the greatest anointing of your life. Just before you see that breakthrough in your family. The devil will make it look blacker, worse, more difficult, harder than it's ever looked. Why? Because he wants you to give up. Oh, tell the devil I ain't giving up.
I'm coming out.
I'm coming out stronger. I'm coming out with a fresh fire. I've got a new vision. See, what I want to tell you, and I'm getting ready to close. What I want to tell you is it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. If Elijah, if the devil could keep his mind on himself, he would have died there. And his anointing would have ended there. But God showed him, it's bigger than you. And when he came out of that tomb, he didn't just come out for himself. He came out for the next generation. See, you owe it to your children to come out. You owe it to your cousins and your nephews to come out. You owe it to you owe it to your grandchildren to come out. You owe it to people that are outside of this church to come out. You owe it to the next generation to come out. Don't bury that. There's a generation waiting on your anointing. There's a generation waiting on the wisdom that God put on the inside of you. There's a generation that's under the control of a Jezebel that needs an Elijah. There's some children that are waiting on you. There's some grandchildren that are waiting on you. And behind you, there's a generation that's been told that they got nothing. There's a generation that's been told that they don't fit. There's a generation that's told that they got no destiny. The devil is a liar! Hey! close to close today. You're coming out with a double portion of noise. I want you to lift your hands all over this building. I'm going to pray right now. As a matter of fact, I want everyone that's come to the front of this building, come to the front, because I'm going to pray, because I just felt the Lord say, pray for a double portion in on him. If you've been bad to the devil,